Have you ever had the experience of taking a piece of furniture that was old or had been maybe sitting around for a while and it just did not look that good? And yet you saw something in it that said, hey, this piece of furniture has potential. So maybe you took it yourself and then refurbished that piece of furniture or whatever, turned it back into something beautiful. Now, I've often thought about refurbishing and restoration. You know, when you consider that term, that means that there was some beauty to something before. In other words, you're trying to return it to the beauty that it was before. Well, we're going to talk about that in regard to pretty much everything according to the Word of God. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of Acts chapter 3 as we continue on our sermon series, The Hope of His Return, Understanding the Second Coming. And today we want to talk about the restoration of all things. So grab your Bible, turn it to Acts 3. I'll be right back. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. We are so grateful that you're taking this time to join us as we gather around His Word today. I mentioned just a moment ago that we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Acts. We're going to be dealing with a couple of verses in Acts chapter 3. Again, we're continuing our sermon series on the hope of His return, understanding the second coming of Christ. And today we want to look at the restoration of all things. Now, as believers, we eagerly await the return of Christ, knowing that with His coming comes the promise of restoration and renewal. Now, I want you to kind of get that picture that in your mind that I shared with you as we opened up our Bible study today. Maybe an old piece of furniture that's been sitting around the house or in the basement, and you look at it and you're like, man, this thing does not look like it used to look. It's looking pretty distressed in areas. And I want you to think, if you've ever had the experience of seeing a piece of furniture like that somebody took the time to restore and bring back to life. And it made a beautiful, beautiful piece of furniture again. In other words, they turned it back to what it was when it originally came out of the factory. Well, the Lord's given us that promise that when He comes, there's going to be restoration and renewal. Today, we're going to explore the hope and assurance that we find in the book of Acts chapter 3, specifically verses 19 through 21 regarding the restoration of all things. Look with me, if you would, at our text. Acts chapter 3, beginning with verse 19, says this. It says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you, before whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began." Would you pray with me? Father, as we come to You today, again, we ask that You would provide for us understanding into Your Word. Lord, we're grateful and thankful for the Holy Spirit. Lord, that Holy Spirit speaks to each and every one of us if we will take the time to listen. Father, we pray that as we spend these moments with You, that You would help take away any distractions that may hinder us from hearing the Holy Spirit within our lives. And Lord, as always, may You use me as Your messenger for these moments. Help me, Father, to lift You up, that You and You alone truly would be exalted and adored by all men on this earth. So, Father, bless this time as only You can. Strengthen our heart. Draw us close to You, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, as we kind of look at the context or the background of these passages in Acts that we're looking at today, in these passages, Peter is actually addressing a crowd after healing a lame man at the temple gate. Now, he calls on them to repent and to turn to God, promising that times of refreshing will come from the Lord. Now, I know that if you're like I am, you look at the condition of the world, you see the way things are going, and I mean, life's hard. Let's just say it right out, life's hard. There are times and moments that you just desire that refreshment from the Lord, just that renewal time with him, just because of all the outside, I like to call it white noise, that the world puts within our hearts and within our lives. So in this passage, you know, he's speaking of the return of Jesus Christ, and he's speaking of the restoration of all things. Now you kind of understand the reason why I gave you that furniture restoration story as we began our Bible study time today, because it's something that really helps us to understand. You see, to restore something means to take it back to what it originally was. Now, when we think about mankind, you know, the Lord wants to return things the way he originally intended them to be. So when we think about that piece of furniture, we think about how it's, you know, set down in a damp and moldy basement, and maybe the wood is starting to peel. And then you have somebody who is an expert in restoration, and you take that piece of furniture to them, and then when you get it back, you don't even recognize it. It looks brand new. It looks like it just came out of the factory again. It has been restored. So we're seeing the promise that when the Lord comes, that there is going to be restoration of all things, you know, a promise that has been foretold by God's prophets actually since the beginning of time. Now, I don't know about you, but that should make you breathe a sigh of relief and maybe put a little grin on your face and say, boy, that's going to be a great day when that finally arrives. So as we think about our text once again, you know, the restoration of all things refers, you know, to the complete renewal and redemption of creation that will occur when Christ returns. As you know, this is not the way that the Lord intended for mankind to be. Yeah, you think about all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden. When Adam and Eve were in the garden, there was no sin. They didn't even know that that existed. Well, it was because they succumbed to Satan's temptations that sin entered the world. Remember what it was that the Lord told Adam and Eve? He said, of all of the trees in the garden, you can partake except one. And he said that was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now think about it for just a moment. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the reason why, the Lord wasn't trying to hold anything back from mankind. He just knew that if they partook of that fruit, then what would happen would be they would understand evil. And the Lord never intended us to understand that. You know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it was when they partook of the fruit that evil essentially, you know, entered the world and mankind, and all of a sudden everything was looked at differently. So when the Lord returns, he's going to put it back to the way it should have been back before the time that man fell. Okay, so he's going to renew and redeem all of creation, and that's going to occur when Christ returns. Now, this includes the restoration of relationships. Maybe in your life, you've got some broken relationships, you know. That's going to include the healing of brokenness. Maybe there's some tragic things that have happened in your life, and maybe you are just completely broken. Well, if that's you, there's good news. The Lord promises that there will be restoration in regard to that brokenness. And he's also saying this too. You know, when you think about restoration, there will be the eradication of sin and death. You know, death never was supposed to be a part of God's plan. You know, when you think back all the way to the beginning of the Garden of Eden, and let's even consider some of those that the Bible tells us what their age was. Think of Methuselah. Methuselah was the one who lived the longest number of years that we know of. But the word tells us that he lived to be 969 years old. I couldn't imagine what that would be like. But even with that sort of a long life, death still came to him because sin entered the world, and that's why. So you know, when the Lord comes back, death is going to be eradicated as well. It's a promise of the ultimate, and I like to use that word, ultimate reconciliation and wholeness in Christ. All right. So when we consider our text today from a theological perspective, the promise of restoration of all things reminds us of God's faithfulness and his ultimate plan for redemption. Now, it gives us hope in the midst of trials and challenges, and each and every one of us have those every day. We have trials and we have challenges. Now, Yeah, notice what I said, each and every day. Some of you are going, yeah, multiple trials, multiple challenges every single day. So in the midst of all that's going on, in the midst of everything that seems to be going in the wrong direction, we can have hope in the fact that someday the Lord is going to restore all of these things back to the way that they should be. So we should have hope in the midst of our challenges and in the midst of our trials, knowing that one day we're all going to be made new in Christ. Doesn't that sound great? Yeah, how many times have we had something that was new and we loved it and essentially you used it until you wore it out? I hope and pray that that's the way the Lord sees you when you get a chance to see him face to face, that you took what he gave you and you used it for his honor and for his glory. You know, it's ironic that even today I had been looking through some old pictures, and I think back to when there were a lot less pounds on this body, when the hair didn't have the gray and the beard didn't have the gray in it, and you know, we're aging. Yeah, but someday all that's going to end. Everything is going to be restored. We're going to be new in Christ. And it also points to the sovereignty and the power of God. Now, I want to define sovereignty once again. If you've been around me for any amount of time, sometimes this word gets taken and used in different ways. But the best way to define sovereignty is that God can do whatever he wants to whomever he wants at any time that he wants and be justified in doing it, okay? So this points to the sovereignty and the power of God, who will bring about the restoration of his creation according to his perfect will. Now, we know that because of the fall of mankind, fall means that's not what it intended it to be. If you fall from one level to the next, that means that you were initially on that upper level before you fell down to the lower level. Well, the Lord's going to restore everything to the way that he originally intended it to be before Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. Now, repentance is something that leads to forgiveness, and those things lead to renewal in Christ. If there is something that's going on in your life right now, the Holy Spirit is just really pounding that with you. You know, I'm urging you, I'm begging you to repent of whatever it is that he is showing you. Because when you repent, and you know what repentance means that you are turning away from it. You're turning away from what's wrong. You're heading towards what's right. So repentance leads to forgiveness, and that leads to renewal. That gives you that second chance, or that gives you that opportunity. That's kind of what we call it around here, a second chance. You know, we need to think of the refreshing times that we have when it comes to being in the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you, but man, there are times when the day can just be going horrible. My mind may not be exactly in the right place. And I will sit down and I'll pick up my Bible and I'll just start reading through it. And there is just a literal and physical calm that starts to come over me. I start to hear the Lord speak through his word to me, and it just reminds me so much of what it's going to be like one day when we will get to see him face to face. Now, I'm not going to say when we someday will get to experience him, because we get to experience him right now through the Holy Spirit. But what's it going to be like when we have that opportunity to see him face to face? I've always liked that scripture passage in the New Testament that says, now we see through a glass dimly, but one day when we see we will not see through the glass. Everything will be in focus. When I read that particular verse, it just kind of reminds me of the opaque, and I call them shower blocks. Maybe you've seen those before. Maybe you've had a wall. They were really big kind of in the 70s, maybe early 80s, that maybe a shower, or there was a wall that was built with these glass blocks that you couldn't actually see. Yeah, I mean, you could see through it, but you couldn't focus on what was on the other side. You might be able to tell that there was a person standing on the other side of it, but you couldn't see well enough to see who they were, to make out any sort of image with any clarity whatsoever. All you really knew was that there was somebody on the other side. Couldn't tell whether it was male or female, whatever the case may be. But when we think about that scripture passage says, now we look through the glass dimly. I liken that to looking through those shower blocks. We know the Lord is there. We know he's alive. We know he's moving. We know he's working in our lives. But one day, we will see him face to face. That wall will come down. We will have that opportunity to see him with all of the clarity. So think about the refreshing times that are yet to come when we're in the presence of the Lord. Now, we also have to think about the fact that Jesus Christ is going to return for the restoration of all things. I can't believe how many people today will sit back and say, well, you know, the Bible's full of symbolism, and I don't believe that this is going to happen, and, you know, I don't believe, and sometimes people will tell me, oh, I believe in heaven, I just don't believe there's a hell. Well, folks, look, the Word, which is the true Word of God, the inspired, inerrant Word of God, tells us that there is a place called heaven, there is a place that's called hell, and there is a spiritual realm that is functioning around us that we can't even see. You know, we're talking about angels. We're talking about demons. Yes, those things are real according to the Word of God. Okay, that may be a different series for a different day, but for right now, we just need to know that Jesus Christ is going to return and He is going to restore all things. Okay, now this promise has been spoken by the prophets throughout history. We have read about that even in the days before Christ. Notice when we're talking about the prophets. They were always prophesying about what was going to take place in the future. And even for you and I mean, even though we've got a lot of distance behind us, we've seen a lot of these prophecies come true. We can take it to the bank that the rest of them are going to come true as well, particularly when it comes down to His return. Yeah, how much longer is it going to be? We don't know. You know, there are people all the time that will sit back and say, well, the Lord's going to come back on this month, this date, this. You can't do that because the Word of God itself says that no man knows the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man will return, okay? So as we consider these things, as we consider that there's going to be restoration when the Lord returns, yeah, what does that mean to us today? Yeah, how does that affect us in our everyday walkabout world in which we live right now? Well, as we await the return of Christ and as we await the restoration of all things, we are called to live in repentance and faith. Now, think about that for a minute. We're called to live in repentance. Remember, we mentioned what repentance was just a moment ago. As the Holy Spirit convicts us of wrongdoing, we turn around and we begin to head back towards the Lord. So He's called us to live in repentance because with repentance, there is forgiveness and faith. Now, we know the technical definition of faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, that's what our faith is. Okay, so what kind of faith do you have? So remember, we're called to live in repentance and faith, seeking to align our lives with God's purpose for our lives. And this is where a lot of rift comes in. You see, the problem is we like to do things our way. I call it the Frank Sinatra syndrome. When I say that I did it my way, well, folks, listen, God has a plan for you. It is a better plan than even what you have for you. But sometimes our pride keeps us from being all that God wants us to be. But here's what I want you to realize today, that no matter what place you are in life, God has a purpose for you on this earth to be used for His honor, to be used for His glory. And what I'm talking about are the talents and abilities that He has given you. You are somebody. You are enough, but use it for the right reasons. See, we're to be agents of reconciliation. We're to be agents of healing in a broken world, because I don't think that there would be anybody who would disagree with me when I say we are truly living in a broken world, plain and simple, okay? So we're to be agents of reconciliation and healing in this broken world, and we're supposed to be sharing the hope of restoration with others through our words and through our actions. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment, because sometimes what happens is people kind of look in that mirror and they look at themselves and they begin to see the old piece of furniture that was left down in the cellar or in the basement. They begin to see, you know, how the paint's faded, how the wood is beginning to delaminate, and they see themselves in that light. But yet, when we're honest about it, when we carry those things to the Lord says, I can restore you. And I just always think about, I mean, one particular incident when I saw a piece of furniture that I would have probably just thrown in the trash, And then a very skilled woodworker did their magic on it. And when I looked at it, I couldn't quit staring at it because I was like, is this the same piece of furniture? And it's like, oh, yeah, it's all original. I just went back and put it back to its original state. Remember what we talked about, what Jesus is going to do when he returns? So think about that for a moment when we consider these things. You know, think about what the shape that the world is in. We think about the hope of restoration with others, and that's what we should be doing. We should be agents of the Lord to bring about that restoration, not only through our words, but also through our actions. There's this old statement that says, actions speak louder than words. Well, folks, let me assure you of something. It doesn't matter what position you think you are in society, whether you think you're, you know, up here in the middle or completely unseen by the world. Let me promise you that you're not. Somebody is watching what you do. Somebody is watching the decisions you make. Somebody is watching how you act and react towards everything that happens in your life. And you are being an example through your actions, not just your words. Listen, words are important, though. But your actions speak very loudly, too, about what you truly believe in your heart to be right and real, okay? So how about we eagerly anticipate the day when all things will be made new in Christ? I hope and trust and pray that as you do, you will sit back and say, you know what? We're only here for a little while. We're just passing through this life. The ultimate goal is to be in the presence of the Lord, in the kingdom of heaven, in the place that he has gone to prepare for us. Let's not get our thinking so horizontal. Now, if you've been around me for any amount of time, you understand that when I talk about horizontal thinking, I'm talking about this way, you know, looking at things that are right out in front of us, as opposed to vertical thinking, which is looking to the Lord, looking toward his presence, looking toward what it is that he wants us to do. And too many times we get so caught up in the workabout world that our vision is so horizontal that we forget to look up. We forget to count on the Lord. And by the way, folks, horizontal vision is a very impactive tool of the devil, because what he does is he keeps us distracted from the more important things that God wants us to do. So I hope and trust and pray that as the Spirit convicts your heart today, that your vision will be vertical as opposed to horizontal. So as we consider what we've looked at today in regard to Acts chapter 3, the promise of his restoration of all things is a source of great hope and assurance for all of us who are believers. You have to sit back and say, man, this is broken. I'd like a do-over. I can't tell you how many times in ministry that there have been people who have come to me and they've actually said that. They've said, you know what, I have messed up things so bad. I would just like a do-over. I would like a new chapter. I would like restoration. See, that's what restoration is all about. Remember, putting something that's in a bad condition back into a condition of the way it originally was, which is what the Lord wants to do to everything, all of mankind, this earth, and particularly all of your situations, okay? So as we consider that today, I hope and pray that specifically throughout this week that you will consider the promise of the Lord's restoration of all things, and I hope and pray that you will find great hope and assurance in that as a believer. So as we look forward to the return of Christ, let us live in anticipation of the day when all things will be restored and all things will be renewed in him. And may we be faithful in our calling to proclaim the message of restoration and reconciliation to a world that is in need of God's healing touch. Could you do that? Well, listen, in just a moment, I'm going to have a word of prayer with you and then let you know what we're going to be looking at as far as scripture readings for this week as we'll lead into the continuation of our Bible study series next week. But let me just go ahead and have a word of prayer with you as we wind down our time together today. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much. And Lord, we thank you for the promise that you give us of the restoration of all things through Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will help us to live in anticipation of his return, seeking to align our lives with your purpose, and Lord, sharing the hope of restoration with other folks. May we be faithful witnesses to your power. And Lord, may we be faithful to know that one day all things will be made new in Christ. And Lord, we do lift this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks. Well, listen, we're going to be continuing our sermon series with the number six message in our Bible study. Next week, we're going to talk about living in anticipation. The scripture text we're going to be using is going to be 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. So I want to go ahead and encourage you to spend some time this week in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And then what we're going to attempt to accomplish in our Bible study is that as believers, we're going to be encouraged to live in a state of readiness and holiness as we await the return of Christ. Now, like I say, I know it's been quite a bit of time. You know, there have been people sitting back saying, well, it's been 2,000 years and we've been, you know, waiting that long. We're still supposed to be prepared. We're still supposed to be ready. We're still supposed to be eager for that particular time of when he comes again. So spend some time this week in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And next week, we'll look at the number six message in our series, The Hope of His Return, Understanding the Second Coming of Christ. Next week, sermon six or Bible study six is going to be Living in Anticipation. I hope and pray that you will join us. As always, I want to extend a personal invitation to you to join us for our Sunday morning services at Central Baptist Church. We're located in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. If you're familiar with the area, we're right across the street from the Oak Ridge Military Academy. You can get more information about our church. You'll see our website posted throughout this Bible study, but it's www.oakridgecbc.org. So you can go there, find out any information about who we are. Our services start at 10:45 on Sunday morning. We do have opportunities for Bible study through small groups. We do have Sunday school. We've got men's groups and women's groups that meet some on Sunday, some at other times during the week. And then during the school year, we do have Awana for the children. So we would love to have you come and be a part of worshiping our Lord in spirit and in truth at Central Baptist Church. If you show up, listen, be sure to come and find me. Just say, hey, look, I'm, you know, give me your name. Just say, I watch you on the Wednesday Bible study, wanted to drop in on you. And I hope and pray that we'll have that opportunity to meet one another. So my prayer for you this week is that we will live in the hope of his return, and that we will truly be not only living in anticipation, but realizing there is a day of restoration and renewal that's coming. God bless you. Have a great week. ¶¶